105. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, Mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
Lazarus, Jesus' friend, his two sisters was cool with Jesus too. Jesus used to kick it at their house and eat, the scripture tells us. They cool with Jesus. They so cool with Jesus that when Lazarus gets sick, they make the assumption Jesus would come right away. Jesus is in Bethany, but when Lazarus gets sick, they say, would you come right now? And your Bible says, as opposed to coming right now, he purposely procrastinates. He comes 4 days later. Matter of fact, when he gets there, Lazarus already dead. He waits. Did I tell you that Hebraically culture means so much when you're teaching the Bible? Culture means so much. You have to know culture, because in our culture, Sister Kay and all these great funeral homes, boy, here's what they do. When somebody dies, they embalm you. And you say, well, he died today. When the funeral going to be? Well, next Sunday, because my family got to come from California. So the funeral home embalms him and holds the body until next Saturday when everyone can get here. Not so in Hebraic culture. Matter of fact, even today, Orthodox Judaism, if you die Monday, the funeral's Tuesday. Whoever can't make it just can't make it. They don't believe in embalming. So you die Monday, funeral's Tuesday. You die Wednesday, funeral's Thursday. So there is no embalming. So, of course, the body begins to decompass, to deteriorate. So Christ gets there 4 days later, and Lazarus has already died. Of course, they are perturbed and ticked off. One of them went off on Jesus. Matter of fact, both of them did and said, had you been here, our brother wouldn't have died. They had some black in them. I can see it. I'm telling you, boy, they, I don't care, God or not. God or not, you ain't say that when you was eating our food coming over our house. Talking about you had to pray. You had to pray. Mr. God, where was you at? And you couldn't even show up. But what they didn't know is sometime he comes late on purpose. But don't worry about it, because whenever he shows up, he will show out. Can I get a witness? As a matter of fact, if you've been waiting on God and he hasn't come yet, lean on somebody and say, it's not bad enough. Go ahead. He wants it to get so bad that when he resurrects some stuff, can't nobody get the credit but him. I wish I had seven people at one of these campuses that would feel me. Did I tell y'all that he had been dead 4 days? So undoubtedly, decomposition has set in. Then Jesus said to Lazarus, come forth. But wait a minute, did I just tell y'all that he waited 4 days, they didn't embalm the body? So we know what's going on. By now, the epidermis and the skin has fell from the bone. And undoubtedly, some worms have ate some of the skin. But then wait a minute, some cat has ate the worm. But then wait a minute, why must I chase the cat? Some dog. I thought there was some cues here, had ate the cat. But then some coyote had ate the dog. But when Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth, the coyote spit up the dog. The dog spit up the cat. The cat spit up the worm. And the worm spit up Lazarus. Because when God called my name, whoever had me gotta let me go. Whoever I was hooked on gotta release me. However detached I was, I'm coming back together. Would you lean on somebody and say, he's calling me back together? Go ahead. That's not even my sermon. Sit down. I'm not preaching about Lazarus. Lean on somebody and say, that will preach right there. That will preach. That will preach right there. But that's not even my sermon. That's not even. That was for free. That's not even my sermon, because, okay, remember this. Remember this, because I'm homiletically tripping today. I'm homiletically tripping. I'm going a different way. So remember that Jesus...
Good morning, KAYT listeners and KQJO listeners. This is Bishop Kenny Townsend on a super soul-saving Saturday in the wonderful world of gospel. As I said before, we're just momentarily interrupting your regularly scheduled program so that we can share with you something of a very important nature. Today is Juneteenth Day that is being celebrated possibly all over the country. And it gives me great pleasure because we have a well-noted senior citizen on the line with us today that is going to share with you the importance of Juneteenth Day. It gives me great pleasure to introduce to some and to present to others none other than in the person of Pastor Reverend Grady T. Blackwell of the First, I think it's St. Mark Baptist Church. But again, okay. Well, listen, take it away, Pastor Blackwell, and kind of tell us about why Juneteenth is such an important event that's taking place today.
Well, certainly, I think and I know that Juneteenth is very, very, very important, especially to me and hopefully to the community, to the whole United States, to the world. Juneteenth is very important. I'm 86 years old. I'm not bragging on my age. I just thank God for that. But I've seen a lot of things, and I have celebrated Juneteenth when I was a child growing up and when I was a young man growing up, like 15 and 16 years ago. I mean, not ago. When I was 15 or 16 years old, that's the only thing that we really celebrated was Juneteenth. And it was a glorious time. We look forward to it every year as a child. I'll just tell you, too, we ate watermelon. We ate fruit. We ate barbecue chicken.
Dr. Blackwell, let me just interrupt you for a moment to ask the question for the sake of listeners that may not understand. What does Juneteenth really signify? I know that it was a celebration, but to the younger generation that might be out there listening right now, what was the whole premise behind Juneteenth, if you could briefly elaborate?
The whole premise when we celebrated it at that time and even now, but the whole premise was the freedom of the slaves. Okay. That's what we were celebrating, the freedom. That's what we celebrated at that particular time. We realized that that was the time that black people was free from the slave, and that meant a lot to us. And not that we didn't celebrate the, you know, the 4th of July, but we celebrated the 19th of June, and that was back then at that time. That's was when the black people really celebrated the 19th of June, and we celebrated the freedom from slavery. That's what we celebrated, and we celebrated hard. But I noticed something throughout my lifetime. Looked like it was a period, and I was in the military, and that might have been the reason why, but that was a period. Looked like it was it just was a relaxing. People didn't put much emphasis in it where I were at the time that I was going through on some time. But back when I was a child and back when I was a very young man, we did celebrate the freedom of the slave. And it meant so much to me. It meant so much to my children when I got married to celebrate June 19th.
Let me ask you a question, too. I know we celebrate Black History Month in February, but is that something that you hear people talk about during Black History Month? Do they really elaborate on Juneteenth during that particular time? Because I wasn't really aware a lot of Juneteenth until I started coming into the Southland areas. You know, growing up in Chicago, I didn't hear a lot about that, but it became primarily prominent when I came to the South District of Louisiana and Mississippi. So Go ahead.
Well, every year, I can say this, every year, this year we didn't celebrate it at our church. We talked about it, but we didn't celebrate it. We normally celebrate it at Helen Black Park, which is located in our church area.
Okay.
And we celebrate it every year. And when I say we, I'm talking about First St. Mark Church and the churches in that area. We team up together. We would have free barbecue chicken, hamburgers, hot dogs. We put on a special show for the youth. We would have a guest speaker. Sometimes it was a mayor or somebody that the mayor sent down to, you know, and then in his place. But we certainly celebrate that every year for the last 8 or 10 years for sure.
Okay.
And it was just something in the community. We had a lot of youth there participating. We had a guest speaker. And it just was something good and something that we thought was necessary to celebrate and necessary to pass on to our youth to let them know, you know, where we come from, what we've been through in order to be where we are. So
I'm going to put you on the spot now, Dr. Blackwell. Do you think, and I'm quite sure that in the American history books, that there are many things that have been related primarily to the millennials of today. I know that they speak about Martin Luther King and they speak about slavery and this, that, and the other. But do you think that in the historical curriculum, especially for the sake of the African-American, that Juneteenth should be incorporated into the history books?
I certainly do. I just think Juneteenth should be part of our history. And so many times, our youth, as time goes on, they don't know and they're not taught in an academic sense what some of the blacks went through on a day-to-day basis, year-to-year basis, how they was treated and what they come from. So I just think that it should be, I think it should be taught in our history book. I think it should be taught academically in schools and in, I'm talking about elementary school right up through college. I just think it should be.
Amen.
I think it would make a difference on the way we live, the way we think about different things. It should be taught.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
I got to say this. I know you didn't ask this question, but when I was coming up in Shreveport, Louisiana, I didn't see a very few, maybe one black doctor in the whole neighborhood and one black lawyer. Hmm. And I just thought that that was something impossible for me to achieve. Hmm. So I didn't want to go for that. The only thing I seen was something less than that, you know, a maid and some people home.
Mm-hmm.
And I seen school teachers that was on the waiting list to teach because they could only teach in black schools.
I see.
In black college. So they had a degree from Grambling or Southern, but they had to do domestic work as a maid until the opening come up in a black school. I seen that, but I just think that it should be on your course. And I think it should be taught from elementary through college.
One final thing I'd like to ask you, and I'm quite sure not many people are aware of it, but has Juneteenth been declared a national holiday to your knowledge?
Yes. It's a holiday. Yes, it has been.
It has been declared in all 52 states a national holiday.
Exactly.
Great.
It has been. The president Biden signed that into law.
Great.
And it is a national holiday. And I thank him and all the people who put forth so much effort to make this come possible. You know, nobody just signed something just because they like it, but it's been some people that are doing great things. And of course, I mentioned Carolyn Frazier in this area. She has done a fantastic job on getting the word out. And many thanks go to her. I'm just talking about here in Alexandria area. But look, hats off to you and the radio station and to all the people in this community who did their part. And if I look at the whole nation, there have been a lot of people that did a lot of things to get the attention of the president and to have him sign this into law.
Thanks to
him and everybody else that did their part.
All right. Well, Reverend Grady Blackwell, we would love to thank you. You are part of our radio listening audience's ministry, that you've been on the radio for a long time. And we certainly thank you for taking time out from your busy schedule to enlighten and to educate our radio listeners on the importance of Juneteenth. And if the Lord says the same, we'll be hearing again from you a little bit later on this morning with your radio broadcast.
Certainly, you sure will. And happy Father's Day to all these fathers out there that listen also.
All right, Reverend Blackwell, thank you so much.
All right.
All
bye-bye.
Right. All right, radio listeners, that was Reverend Grady T. Blackwell of the St. Mark Baptist Church, who gave us a brief historical update concerning the events of Juneteenth Day. I pray that you will do the part to educate our younger generation of this very important holiday today. And while you're out enjoying the festivities, Please be safe while you're out there driving up and down the highways. Please exercise safety and discretion. Remember, the life you save might be your own. Now back to our regularly scheduled program.
Not to think about it, the more it jumps in my head. That's what almost gives me a nervous breakdown, because I'm trying not to think about it. And the more I try not to think about it, the more I think about it. You don't think I want this stuff out my head? You think I want to live in 1997? You think I want to live where my ex-husband used to beat me? You think I want to live where I'm trying to get it out my head? But when I deal with present stuff, it takes me back to past problems. So, Pastor, help, I'm preaching to somebody. Good God, I'm trying to figure out. Pastor, whatever other reason I come to this church, because you don't just throw lofty scriptures at me, you used to give me practical ways to implement them. Okay, let me tell you what works for me, so I don't just say this theologically or theoretically, but rather experientially. Because I think by my very nature, I think I'm too critical. I think by my very nature, I tend to see the glass half empty more than half full. I think based on what I've been through, I'm more pessimistic than optimistic in the natural. So I have to put God's super on my natural. Because some people, even without Jesus, are just happy-go-lucky all the time. That's not me. If I'm not careful, I'm a critical thinker. I think too much. I can think myself into a bad place. So, Pastor, what have you done? Let me tell you something practical. Let's give the devil a nervous breakdown. Whenever something negative comes in your head, don't just think about something God did, but say it out loud. Y'all don't believe me. Whenever you sit back in your chair, in your bed, and your mind starts playing tricks on you, say, God, but I thank you that my kids are healthy right now. God, I thank you that you gave me another chance. God, I thank you that my bills are paid. God, I thank you that I got a decent husband. See, while the devil's trying to bring back negative stuff, you start prophesying and thanking God. Praise will break the chains off your mind. Some of y'all don't believe me. So just try for the next 7 days. Whenever you start tripping, say, wait a minute. I take that thought captive, and I replace that thought with the goodness of God. Matter of fact, practice right now. I'm going to give you 30 seconds to think about 5 things God did for you this week and just say it out loud. Go ahead. Matter of fact, practice on your neighbor. Say, neighbor, you don't know like I know. Tell them what the Lord has done for me. Ask your neighbor, can I practice on you? Can I tell you 5 things God did for me just this week? How he kept me, never left me, preserved me, watched over me. I almost crashed. He grabbed my wheel. Angels watching over me. I gotta go, y'all. I gotta go. So everybody in here with a past like me, everybody got a past. Everybody come from some stuff. You did not arrive out of a vacuum. You come from a context. But God has freed you from unhealthy, this is so important. God has freed you from mental and relational strongholds. God has freed you from mental and emotional strongholds. I don't care what happened, no matter what that nasty cousin did to you. No matter what that father with his perverted self did, no matter what that mother with her unhealthy self said, no matter what the ex did, no matter who played you, no matter what money you shouldn't have spent, what job you shouldn't have took, whose wife you shouldn't have been with, whose husband you shouldn't have been with, God said it's under the blood. You can't change it. And when it comes up, go to grief recovery, take all the classes we offer, read your Bible, pray, plead the blood over it, and then call yourself free. And when somebody bring it up, say, don't even remember, it's behind me now. Why would the dog return back to the vomit that made him sick? Matter of fact, give your neighbor a high five like this. Say, I can't look back because I might go back. That's the best I can do. I can't even turn around. From now on, I'm giving my high fives like this. I'm not even looking back. You got to slap me while I'm walking this way. I can't turn around because I come too far to go back. I feel like preaching. God, I got to get out of here. I got another service, but I feel somebody shouting that old things are passed away. All things have become new. I don't care what the devil said about you. You are blessed and highly favored. You the head and not the tail. You blessed coming in and going out. Everything you touch turned to gold. You are the reaper, not just the sower. He gives seed to the sower. This is your eyes have not seen. God, I'm just trying to preach to 50 people. Slap 5 people. Say, I'm too blessed to be 5. only got 3 minutes. I gotta let y'all alone. But not only am I free from the bondage of sin, not only am I free from emotional and mental bondage, here's a third thing. This series is good, I'm telling you. I'm free from unhealthy relationships. I said I'm free from unhealthy relationships. I'm free. If you're in a relationship that is not healthy for you, God's about to free you from it. Now, without, oh my goodness, 20 people just looked at their spouse and was like, bye, 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 bye. No, not your husband. You're stuck with him or her, with the exception of extenuating biblical circumstances that I'll get to, because there are some cases where even that becomes too toxic. They want to beat you and cheat on you and abandon you. 1 Corinthians says God has called you to peace. The Bible says if the unbelieving spouse wants to go, let him go. Don't be chasing them. No, God has called you to freedom. See that? Singles, come here. Singles, come here. Pastor, I want company so bad. 1 Corinthians 7 also says, I'm not trying to get you not to get married, but Paul says, but I want you to be free. He literally says, I want you to be free. This is so good, and I'm out of time because I've done my homework. I'm ready for this series. I just need more time. I don't need more sermon. I need more time because I'm done, because that's a whole sermon right there. All the singles that want company, Paul says, I'm trying to spare you the problem of marriage. Now, those of us that are happily married wouldn't trade it, but all of us that keep it real knows that marriage pulls some stuff. Some freedom you used to have, you got to check in now. Some stuff you may feel like doing, you got to get permission now. That's right. Even though, and so some of you want sex not knowing you're about to give up freedom. And once you go on honeymoon and get that little feeling off, you're going to be in my line 2 months later like, I was free. I was so free. He get on my nerves. I was free. So there's a freedom in being single. See, the question you have to ask is, what do you want more than anything? Freedom? Freedom, which means whoever I marry, I'm not just looking to see are they sexy. To the best of my ability, shameless plug, Dr. Ari Vernon's 10 Rules of Dating at VictoryMP.com. Get it now. I'm Dr. Ari Vernon. I'll prove this message. Now back to this. I got to finish. Shameless plug. Which is why I tell you to do a lot of investigating. Because you're asking yourself, nah, she cute, but how much of my freedom she gonna take? How many kids you got? Oh, that's gonna take a lot of my freedom. How many babies father? Oh, Lord. I gotta weigh that, because I'm gonna have to beat that one up. I'm gonna have to pull her track out her weed when she call my house. That one ghetto, she gonna be cussing me out. Ooh, you cute, but she gonna take too much of my freedom from me, huh? I'm free right now. See, even relationships, I gotta ask myself the question, how much of my freedom is this gonna require? All relationships take some of your freedom. This is so psychological, all relationships. The question becomes, is it gonna take so much I can't deal with it? Is it gonna take so much it puts me in a place? Ooh, let me, this is crazy preaching. Let me argue against my own hypothesis. Let me argue against my own hypothesis. Y'all tired of me? I got another service. Okay, I'll give you 2 minutes. That's all. Colossians 3, verse 13 says, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. So let me argue against myself and tell you that whatever Christianity is, it is bearing with people. It is trying your best to forgive. It is going further than street people. Street people say, I'm through with you. Don't ever speak to me again. But kingdom people say, no, I really should be through with you, but I'm going to try. You dogged me last week, but I'm going to try. I'm going to call you back. You keep hurt. I'm going to try. I'm going to try. This is why I'm amazed at people who want to quit our church or quit ministry. Pastor, what happened? Where you been, baby? Well, I came up to you one Sunday, and you kind of half-hugged me, Pastor, and I was going through a lot. Now, you don't know that the day you hugged me, Lady Brennan had just called me and told me something crazy one of my kids did. You don't know one of the campus pastors just called me and said the lights had went out during the sermon so the people didn't get the words. You don't know that maybe me and her going through some stuff, and so you happen to catch me at a bad time. I got a question for you. Did you think you joined heaven or the church? People kill me. I'm through with the word church. They didn't call me back. Well, your man didn't either. You still sleeping with him. Y'all not having church with me. How can you forgive dirty people and not forgive the church because we dropped it? I'm sorry we hurt your feelings. I'm sorry Lady Vernon missed you. I'm sorry the elder walked past you. I'm sorry one of the ushers dogged you. I'm sorry the leader was a trip. They are human beings, not angels. And what I want us to be is a forgiving church. You don't know if it's that time of the month for her. You don't know if her husband slapped her this morning. You don't know what that brother dealing with. You don't know what his wife just said. So because he's not his best today, give the brother some room the way God gave you some room and forgive. I gotta go. Ephesians 4. Verses 1 through 3 says, therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love. You arguing against your own self, Pastor. You said get rid of unhealthy relationships, and now you're pretty much telling us to hang in there. Oh, really? There's one more scripture. Romans 12, verse 18. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. NLT says, do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Let's go back to NRSV version. If it is possible, possible. Now, I'm not an English major, I'm a theology major, but I think I know this much about English. If Paul said, if it is possible, that means with some people, it just ain't possible. Lean on somebody and say, I tried to be their friend. Go ahead. I tried to be her sister, but every time I talk to her, she mad at me because she not me, and she keep trying to take me back. And every time I hang up the phone with her, she bring the Crecia out of me, and I'm trying to be a kingdom woman, but I need just a little more Jesus before I can call her again. And there's some people in your life that's kin to you that you got to say, I love you, but may the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from another, striving to do our best. Because if I keep talking to you, you're going to make me hit.
I'm Bishop Kenny Townsend, along with my wife,
Lady Mildred Townsend.
And we're inviting you to join us for Moments of Inspiration, Perfecting the Saints, right here on KAYT, KQJO, every Saturday from 11 until 12 o'clock p.m., praying for your most urgent prayer needs.
Prayer changes everything.
Information is powerful, but it's only powerful to the ears of the listeners. Public service announcements are very important to us here at KAYT, KQJO. If you have any public service announcements that you'd like to have aired here on KAYT, KQJO, as always, please feel free to send them 2 weeks in advance to KAYT, Attention, Bishop Kenny Townsend, at 5003 Masonic Drive, Suite 113, Alexandria, Louisiana.